Everyone, how's everyone this morning? Great. Do you remember who lives inside you? Do you remember what we spoke about last week? What was that? The anointed one in us? How many thought about that this week when you're walking around that the anointed one is inside us? There's nothing you can't do with him inside you. Well, we have a fairly good crowd for holiday weekend, everybody going away. But God knows who needs to hear this message. The people that are where? Not here. We're going to share this morning about the church. And we are the church. You are the church. Not the building, but the people that come and attend and sit in this church. And, you know, as I was allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me, he impressed this on my heart to talk about the church. And Pastor Ken asked me this week, he said, well, what are you going to speak on? I said, the church. He's like, oh, that's what the Lord told me to speak on next week. So isn't it great that your pastors are listening to the same God? The same Holy Spirit? We'd have problems if we weren't, wouldn't we? But God is a good God, and it's great to be in church. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the presence we've felt in this place. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the church of God. And I thank you for that the anointed one lives within all of us. And that we are the church of God, and that you are calling us to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. And I ask that you would speak to us through your word. It would be life. It would become rhema to our spirit. Lord, and I pray that we would be changed today in our heart and in our mind with the word that's coming forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to talk about the church and not the building per se, but I may talk a little bit about the building. And I'm going to just, share a few experiences in the beginning about growing up in church and how church is evolving. And it's changing generational as things go on. And, there's some things I like and there's some things I don't like. But there seemed to be a great commitment from people years ago that you don't see as much today. So I'm going to just, first of all, read a scripture and then get into my message. And it's to the church of the Laodicea. And it says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich and have acquired wealth, and do not need anything. But you do not realize that you are a wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Now, this isn't all going to be bad this morning. But it is going to stir you a little bit. And we need to just stop, take a little of the Holy Spirit, smear it on us. Just like you would cook and you would put it in your pot so your bread doesn't stick to the side of the bowl or your eggs don't stick to the pan. But we're going to stir the pot a little bit this morning. But then we're going to get into some good, powerful stuff. But, you know, I'm seeing the way church is going and it seems like it's changing. And we're seeing churches close. We're seeing less people attending church. Things are changing in church. And it seems to not be for the good. There are some big mega churches out there that have the snowball rolling, and it keeps seeming to get big. But you can go to different communities and see churches shrinking, different congregations. It's getting smaller all the time. And I think that there's a lukewarmness in the church. And the lukewarmness is us. And I think we need to be conscious of that. And in the writings, he warns them about being lukewarm. And so we have to think, you know, and look at ourselves, and this morning, analyze yourself and say, are you lukewarm? Now, I'm not saying our church is lukewarm. I think all the other churches out around here are lukewarm. I'm not saying that about you guys. I don't think there's anybody here lukewarm, right? Everybody's on fire? Just ramped up, right? Well, there might be a few people that aren't ramped up. But the churches tend to be getting more lukewarm. And we need to realize that we're the church. And if we're lukewarm, we're affecting the church in a bad way. We can either affect it in a positive way or in a negative way. And God is not happy with us when we're lukewarm. He says he'll spit us out of his mouth. You see, maybe the world is beginning to run the church, and the church is not running the world. Let me say that again. That sinks in. Maybe the world is running the church, and the church isn't running the world. We're letting the outside things of life run the church. But we need to realize that there's big commitment in church. You know, like, you know, I was thinking about generational stuff, and I was reading a book, and this morning, just, I was in my office, and I was meditating, and all of a sudden, the Lord just kind of speaks to me every once in a while, and I try to listen to him, and it was like, you know that book up there? You better grab that and just read a few pages. And I started to read a few pages, and at some point, I would like to read you one chapter out of this. But this is a book written on a minister, and he was Pastor Ken's pastor, and he baptized him. And the reason I have the book, and he doesn't, so I was more important. No. My mom, these people loved my mother. They named their daughter after my mom. He pastored in the East Coast. Then he pastored Pastor Ken's church, my family's church in Hamilton. But my grandfather was healed under this gentleman's ministry. But, you know, when I was thinking back, and I started to read a little bit in this book, and I didn't try to get everything read because I was running out of time, but, you know, I was thinking about church today and lukewarmness and how, you know, we're kind of like, it has to be perfect for us or we can't go, right? It's got to be just perfect. Church has to be. And, you know, these people back in, this was 1940, well, he was born in 1912, but this just little section I'm going to tell you about was in 1948. The river would freeze. It's the St. John River. It's a big river. And they said from the time it began to break in the spring, it would break up so it would be cold. Ice, you know, chunks of ice, like really cold. And most of the summer, but till fall. It said from spring break up to fall, they baptized 113 people in the name of Jesus. You know, it wasn't easy for them to do that. We got to have our temperature just right. Everybody to get our picture. And we, you know, we have to wear the right clothes. You know, we're so concerned about how we look. These people weren't. My other great uncle, their church was right on the St. John River. And they would, if somebody wanted to get baptized, they would just take an axe, go out there, chop a hole in the ice, and baptize somebody. They would walk to church in snow. They didn't have cars. Some of them did, some of them didn't. Snowstorms. Like we don't have that today. We have a hard time showing up on time. Right? Pastor Ken talked about that. You know, we can show up to our job, but church, you know, like, is it a priority? And so, you know, thinking about that, there's some reasons I want to talk about this morning, about the church, about us, where we fit into this package, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. And, you know, I think as we see things evolve, churches have evolved, and I think that the seeker-sensitive movement has been abused by churches today. I think it's gone too far to the extreme by times, not all of them. But, you know, it seems like people want to put God in a box to please people. Right? And what Matthew says in 5:14-16, it says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everywhere in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You see, we're kind of getting some things off. And I think as a church, we need to come back. We're the light. Some of the churches now are saying that there's no room to allow the Spirit of the Lord to operate in church. And we see that in church after church. 1 Thessalonians says, quench not the Spirit of God. It also says, the next verse says, despise not prophecy. I think today in our church, in some churches, that God is put in a box. He is not allowed to move. And he should be allowed to move. The Bible says he should. You know, he's the anointed one in us. He's the light to the world. And when people come in, we're the ones that should be the example. We're the ones that should show them how to preach and how to pray and how to sing and how to worship. And, you know, when I look at the Bible, it says David danced before the Lord. He made almost a fool of himself. He danced. I'm not saying everybody make a fool of themselves and dance. But I'm saying if God moves on us, we should allow his presence to move and we should not be constrained. And the Bible says to shout to the Lord instead of sitting there just, you know how we sit? Or we clap like this so nobody looks at us. But it says shout to the Lord. It says make a joyful noise unto God. When we make that noise to God, it seems like he smiles back at us. He looks at us a different way than if we just whisper it. And he can hear a whisper. And you look at the church of Acts. Like they were just like radicals. That's how we should be. They should be the model to us. I mean, they're staying there praying for hours. Hoping that God's going to show up. We can't even pray for 5 minutes. And we're thinking, I got to mow the grass. And, you know, our mind wanders right off. Oh, I should do the dishes when I get home. And, you know, we start thinking all these other things. Our mind gets off of what God wants us to do. But they weren't like that. And what happened when they were gathered in one accord? The Holy Spirit came down and filled them with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues. And they began to walk in power. People thought they were drunk. It was in the middle of the day. They weren't drunk, but they were just full of the power of God. That's where we need to be. That's the church we need to see today. A church that's powerful. But it seems like it's held back. You see, if it can be held back, there's no setting of people free. It seems like in churches, preaching is what people want to hear. I'm going to this church because they preach what I want to hear. They preach that I can live in sin. It's true. They preach it. It's okay to live with somebody. It's acceptable. There's all kinds of new doctrines out there or people that are taking the word now and they're not preaching the word of God. What's the Bible say? In Timothy 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, for a time is coming when people will not listen to sound and whole teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. I rest my case. Well, I don't want to be one of them preachers that tell you what you want to hear. I want to tell you what God says. I want to tell you what's in the Word of God. My Bible says there's a heaven and there's a hell. My God says there's salvation through the blood of Jesus. And if we confess our sins, He's just and able to forgive us of our sins. See, I want to preach the truth, not a pack of lies, not something just to fill a church and make everybody feel good. Solves their itching ears. You see, churches, some of them can be ashamed of the gospel. And it says in Psalms 105, it says, give praise to the Lord and proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. We're here to proclaim His name, His gospel, right and wrong. In Romans it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. We shouldn't be ashamed. You see, these are some of the reasons I think our churches are not as powerful as God wants us to be. We're not the church that He wants us to be. Now, maybe we are. It's just the other churches. But here's where people are today. So we see what's being preached, we see what's being taught, we see what some of people's mindsets are. But I think this is where people are really today. And I think this describes us. It says, but mark this. This is in Timothy 3. It says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. I believe we're in the last days. I believe we're in the last days. It says, people will be lovers of themselves. We'll go back to that, but people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Nobody here has got disobedient kids, right? No. Ungrateful people, unholy, without love, unforgiveness, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Wow. Treacherous, rash, conceited, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. It says, have nothing to do with such people. I'm just going to say, I think the key to where people are today is in the first part. You can read it through the whole thing, because everything that's in there almost points back to selfishness. It says people are lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This selfish thing is a real poison that is seemed to have crept into society, and it seems like it's growing like a cancer. People are so selfish. It's all about them. It's about the new coat I get, or the new dress. It's about my hair. It's about my new car. It's about me. Oh, I should get that promotion. That person shouldn't have got that, because I'm better than them. I'm the one. You know, we're even selfish in our driving. We want to get ahead of the next person to get to the light, because I got to get to A&W before you do. Selfishness. It's all about us. We think only of ourselves. Oh, well, I want to do this. Everybody else should do this because I want to do this. They should let me do this. You ever think we should be thinking about somebody else? Right? The selfish attitude that's in there. It's a disease, and it's in our generational life right now. It seems like that's the mindset. It's not about helping people. It's not about putting people first or putting God first. It's not about coming to church on time. You know, or it's not about helping in church. It's like, well, what can I get out of church? I'm going, like, what's the men's ministry got for me? I don't like that right now because they didn't serve bacon. We just had eggs and I'm not happy. I want bacon. Like, I'm stirring it this morning, folks. Because we all got some selfishness in ourselves that God's not pleased with. And when that gets into the church, it holds us back from being what God wants us to be. Why do you think marriages are having problems? And people are splitting up? Because one of them thinks it's all about them, or maybe both of them think it's all about them. And they're thinking, well, this person should be doing this. They should be vacuuming the house for me. Or this one should be, you know, the house things, right? Or they should be pulling the car up to under the canopy. I should get my hair wet on the way out. You gotta love me. Remember the Holy Spirit? Put a little oil on you. Smear a little oil right now. So none of this stuff sticks on you. Can't throw any stones at me because our driveway is all paved after. But, you know, that's a part in marriage. The selfishness. It's all about me. Well, I'm going to make a profound statement this morning. It's not all about you. It's about him. It's about him. Why do we come here? It's not about us. We think it is. Oh, we want this music played just this way. And they didn't do that, you know? So, I don't like the music. Right? Or this week, maybe they did do the music the way you liked it, and I like them this week. You know? But it's not in the preacher. He preached the wrong thing, you know? I don't have a problem with selfishness. And he said we were selfish. Right? But it's not about us. It's about Jesus. We gotta realize that. Jesus is the one that it's all about. He's the one, the reason we come, to exalt his name, to lift his name higher. You see, it matters about who it's about. It's not about me, but it's about what Jesus did for me. It's what about Jesus did for you. When I think of the things that God has done for me, I get excited. I think about my children. You know, sometimes you got to go through a whole pile of crap in life to really know who's number one. And when I think about his name, and when I come into church, and when I worship him, I exalt him for the things he's done in my life. I think of my kids. Matthew almost, he hit a moose, and he walked away without a scratch on, and most people die. And Joel, he went off the road in his car. He went to sleep or blacked out, and it stopped, you know, 2 feet from a pole, a hydro pole. And Hannah was in the back seat of the babysitter's truck, and it was rode off. And they took her out through the back window without a scratch. I'm telling you, that's why I come to church, to exalt Jesus for what he did for me. He took the sinner and he made me clean. He washed me. We took communion this morning. He made me a new person. I'm not that same person. That's what we come for, not for ourselves. We lose perspective that it's not about me. It's about him. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. It says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at that name every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I skipped a little bit, but I did that on purpose. We have this great Savior. When we can get it in perspective in our lives, that it's not about us. It's about what we can do for him and what we can do for others. You see, Jesus had a mission here. His mission was to bring salvation to mankind. We have a mission. But his mission was to bring salvation to mankind. And in Luke it says, the Son of Man has come to seek to save that which was lost. And in Philippians it says, and let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He's come to save mankind. He had a mission. He came here to die for the lost. And that makes it so that we have a mission. If you're here and you think, I have no mission in life, we have a mission. The church has a mission. The church has a mandate. And he commands us in Mark, it says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's the command, first and foremost. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We all have our own world. We all have people, creatures, in our life. We have people at our workplace that we're to share the gospel with, to preach to. We have people on the ball diamond to preach to. We have people in the store to preach to. God has commanded us. He's looking, so this is the church he's looking for. He's not looking for this church that's lukewarm, but he's looking for this church that's willing to fulfill his command. And as we read on, it says, and he who believes in him and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow them who believe. And we're going to go back to his name. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with a new tongue. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You see, God's looking for a church that's willing to be more than just a pew warmer, a person that's going to come in here and be warm. He's looking for a people that's willing to share his word, his gospel with the kingdom, and that would walk in power, and that would be able to lay hands on the sick, like the church of Acts, and rebuke the enemy, and break the chains of addictions on people. That's what he's looking for, and you are the church, and he's looking for that from you. From you. I'm telling you, if we could grasp that, that God wants us to do that. You might say, well, I don't know if I can do that. But the word says it. You can. Yeah. It's in the Bible. John says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. I'm telling you, that anointed one we talked about last week, he's living in us. He's living in us. He's living in us. And when we'll walk in that authority, that power, things change. You see, I'm going to end off with this last thought. God is looking for some people. He's looking for his people to be powerful. He's looking for some people that's willing to take the gospel, that's willing to stand up and be strong for him. In Matthew it says, and I also say unto you, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He wants to build his church on everyone in here. And the gates of hell will not prevail. You may feel like you're here today and the gates of hell have been attacking you. But I'm telling you, if we can grasp hold of God and get rid of the selfishness that wants to control us and manipulate our time and manipulate it all about us, and if we can spend our time with God and get this filling of his spirit and his power and allow him to build his church in us, we'll change Kitchener. And the attacks of the enemy, it says, will not prevail against us. And he says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I love that. It's like him giving us the keys to a brand new Lamborghini or mansion. He's given us the keys to that big excavator to dig holes. He's given us the keys to the whole world, not to just one thing. And it says, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. God is looking for some people to build his church on. Let's all stand. Are you going to allow him to build his church in you? Are you going to this morning tear out the, allow him to rip that selfishness out of your heart and your spirit? Have a different heart, a heart of humility, a heart for God. How many people here want God to build his church on them? I want him to. I want him to say, Larry, I want to build my church on you. I want him to build a church on me. I'm not here to play games. I'm not here for fame and fortune and money. I'm here to have him build his church in my life. I'm willing to give some stuff up for him, that we can be effective, that we can be that powerful church I talked about in this community. You think if we walked in that power and that anointing, people would be lined up outside, just like at Walk of Lights. You think if we walked in the miracle delivering power of Jesus every Sunday here, they'd be just trying to peek in windows, and people would be stashed on every corner trying to hear the gospel, get in here and get set free and delivered. You see, God wants to do that with us, people. He wants us to live that way. He wants us to be the church, the powerful church, the church that the gates of hell don't prevail against, the church of God that says, you know, I bind that in the name of Jesus. I take the authority in the name of Jesus. You see, he's looking for that. He's looking for ones that will lay hands on sick people. When you have a chance to witness to somebody and they're sick, you can say, you know what? Let's pray right now. Let's let God demonstrate his power to you. And pray in the name of Jesus. Let that anointed one that walks into you every day come out of you and touch him. Let's just bow our heads. To all those that want to get rid of selfishness this morning, I just ask you just to raise your hand. Amen. Lots of people. I'm putting both hands up because I want it all gone. Some of us want a little bit gone. We want to keep some of it. I don't want to keep any of it. I want it to be all about him and not about me. Let's just pray in the name of Jesus. We come against that spirit of selfishness in the name of Jesus. We bind it. We rebuke it. We command it to leave these people in the name of Jesus. We command it to leave our church in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we will be a people that would humble ourselves before you and give ourselves to you wholeheartedly, every area of our life, that we will allow the power of God to come in, and that we would be hungered and thirsting after you, Lord, so that you could use us to advance the kingdom, to fulfill the mission and purpose that you have in our lives. Lord, I pray we'll be a powerful church. I pray that we'll be full of miracles and deliverances here in this church. And may the city realize it. May miracles start to happen on a daily basis here. May we see people that feel pulled by the Holy Spirit to come into this church. In the name of Jesus, I pray that in the name of Jesus, that everybody's heart will be touched this morning, and that we'll be the church you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.